Okay. When I have Thanksgiving service, I've got like three or four things that I like, different things I like to talk about. Sometimes not all at the same time. This week we got some folks that haven't been here and heard stuff. I'm going to try to talk about them all, but I have to talk quick. And we'll kind of go through those things. Listen, I'm thankful that we can mark Thanksgiving. You know, we'll get on. I can quibble about the dates. I mean, it's probably in October, because the first Thanksgiving English Thanksgiving, was observed by Southerners, not these Yankee Puritans. It was by Southerners at Berkeley Plantation in Jamestown, and they did that in October. And they glorify this Lincoln guy. President Davis, President Washington, all these folks had marked us, set aside Thanksgiving, and they worship, you know, the deity Abraham Lincoln. God help us. But that's not what this is about. This is about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is an American national day of Thanksgiving. It's the only truly Christian religious holiday that's observed in America. Amen. You know, Thanksgiving falls between the pagan mess of Halloween, and they try to say, well, it's all Hallows' Eve, and it's the worship of saints. What? And then this thing called Xmas, which is an abomination, worships the birth of Mithras. And now they even try to ignore Thanksgiving. I mean, you don't hardly see it mentioned anymore. They make such a big deal out of Halloween. They didn't do that when I was a kid, even though, you know, my family didn't know any better. We observed even the church that I was in back then. I mean, but it wasn't that big a deal. But then Thanksgiving is almost forgotten. They go right from Halloween to Christmas. That's the world we live in. That's what they don't want you to be giving Thanksgiving. Because if you believe in Thanksgiving, you have to be giving thanks to someone. And they don't want to acknowledge that someone, which is our sovereign God. And Thanksgiving is a day that's, again, you could quibble the dates and whatever, but it's not rooted in paganism like virtually all the other, quote, religious holidays that are marked in America and much of the so-called Christian world. I call it churchianity. Now, Thanksgiving is rooted in the Bible. It is rooted in the biblical feasts. And I don't have time to go back to all of those, but you go back in the Old Testament and you study the Feasts of Weeks, the Feasts of Tabernacles. They were all days of Thanksgiving. Just a brief passage I'll look at, and I could give multiple more, but Deuteronomy 16, verse 9. And thou shalt keep, verse 10, let's start in 10, so I can abbreviate a little bit. And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God, with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord, according as the Lord hath blessed thee. Now, Israel was told you were to mark this day as a tribute unto the Lord, with a freewill offering, as the Lord hath blessed thee. And then time and time again, further on down that passage, just quickly, verse 16 says, three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Week, the Feast of Tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. This part of my message, I had something happen. These people they're going crazy. And there are people, some of them that are in the Southern movement, and, you know, they're just such a reaction against God's chosen people, the Jews. I had an idiot this week say, well, Jesus wasn't a Jew. Excuse me? Well, really, Mary wasn't his genetic mother. You know, because it was of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit, she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary was his mother. This guy was, I mean, he's just taking off the, and he argues from a preposition, taking it out of context, of the Holy Ghost. He says that means from him, the whole thing. He's not genetically, he has no genetics with Mary, no, obviously no genetics with Joseph. There's some big problems with that. And I won't go there. You can go look it up yourself. When Jesus is with the woman at the well, the Samaritan at the well, Jesus says, "You Samaritans, you really don't know what you're doing." He says, "But we Jews..." Wait a minute. What? Jesus, was it, he didn't know he wasn't a Jew, I guess. What? These people, I'm sorry, yeah, they're not always the most likable people. And what's going on over there now, that country is as wicked as ours. That's not the point. Jesus was a Jew. He said, "We Jews." I think he meant by that. Okay, also, this fellow said Jesus was not a Jew. What was he? I guess he was a white guy. Now, I don't think so. But that's what they kind of would have you believe. Jesus was not a Jew. But he was a man, he said. But he wasn't a Jew. He had no genetics from Mary. There's a problem with that as well, because the scriptures talk about he is the son of David. Oh, wait a minute. How can he be the son of David and not have any Jewish blood? And then they want to argue about what Jews are. Now, I've made a bigger study of that of recent days, and those folks are genetically Jews. Whatever else is going on there, and whatever mixing they may have had, and you know, the Lord had Gentile blood. Don't stop your ears up. But he did. Ruth, Rahab, you know. God's gotten control of that stuff. He was a Jew. They were Jews. They were mothers in Israel. Okay, I didn't mean to get off on all that. But the point is, our Lord, as a Jew under the law, observed the Old Testament feasts of Israel. He observed these days of thanksgiving. That's an example to us. John 7, verse 2. "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand." Well, if he wasn't Jew, why would he care about it? "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." And now I'm skipping down to verse 10 of John 7. "But when his brethren were gone up, then he went up also unto the feast." Not openly, but as it were in secret. He went there to worship, to do what God told him to. Not to... If anybody deserves having attention drawn to them, it's the Lord. But he didn't do that. He went up there to observe and to obey what he'd been told. The Lord observed all the feasts you find in the Old Testament. And many of them are feasts of thanksgiving. Let me say beyond that. And it's not wrong for a people to set aside national days of thanksgiving, national days of honor. The Lord observed national days of thanksgiving that were not a part of the Mosaic Law. You won't find them in the Old Testament. In particular, that thing we've at least heard of it, I'm sure, is Hanukkah. It was the Feast of Dedication. You know where you find Hanukkah in the Bible? It ain't there. Because those events took place intertestamentally between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There was a particular feast of dedication. It commemorated the victory of General Maccabees over the forces of Antiochus Epiphanes, who had desecrated the temple. And when the Jews prevailed, they rededicated the temple. And so, Hanukkah is a day of a rededication. It's not based on the Old Testament. But the Lord marked Hanukkah. He marked these days of national celebration and remembrance. John 10, verse 22. And verse 23. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication," Hanukkah. "And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon." The Lord acknowledged those days, just as we as Americans have days, we as Southerners mark Confederate Memorial Day. And when we do that, I often refer back to the passage in Philippians 4, verse 8, where Paul says, "And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." That word virtue actually speaks of manly honor. That fellow at the summit we were at was talking about. You know, there's a need to emphasize on our boys and girls masculinity. All the world says it's toxic. God says it's necessary, and you better get on board. Anyway, that's what that virtue. And we honor those things on Confederate Memorial Day, the men and the women. They're better people than anybody I know. I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't take that personally. And so the Lord marked that day. It was a national day of thanksgiving. And He marked that. In contrast, He didn't observe the pagan feasts. The paganism that was surrounding Israel, the paganism that the Scriptures clearly warn against. When I talk about national days of thanksgiving, I'm not talking about Xmas. I'm not talking about Easter to Ishtar. The Lord warns us specifically in Jeremiah 10. If you read the whole passage, He kind of warns you about putting up one of them things we call Christmas trees. But Jeremiah 10:2 says this: "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." God said, "Learn not the way of the heathen." He didn't say adopt them, embrace them, modify them. Sometimes Rome and the Protestants, they kind of say, yeah, it may have started in paganism, basically because they can't deny it. Some of them proudly acknowledge it. But we fixed it. We made it something, you know. We took that sow's ear and made it into a real nice purse. You know, you can't bring something pure out of something impure. Scriptures make that clear. And our Lord did mark national days, but He didn't mark paganism. And so it's proper and fitting that we as individuals, that we as a church, that we as a families, that we as a nation honor God and give Him thanksgiving for His manifold blessings. Ephesians, Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, Ephesians 5 verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Again, God's sovereign. We may not understand it all. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, briefly, I've got a whole thing here, but the first day of Thanksgiving in America, as I already alluded to, took place in Jamestown at Berkeley Plantation. After a couple of years before the, I think the Puritans, they say, is 1621. 1619 is when they observed Thanksgiving at Berkeley Plantation. When they arrived, the ships to Jamestown had this order. It says, "We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." Not 1619. That's not 1860-something and Abe Lincoln. And it's not, you know, 1621 in the Puritans. The Puritans hated our guts, you know that? And they persecuted the Baptists as much as they could. And in some cases unto death. But they beat them to bloody pulps, arrested them, imprisoned them. The day may come again. But that's okay. Anyway, the colonists were no less grateful than these pilgrims that are being honored. They were equally schooled in adversity, if not more so. They were devout. They were equally thankful, and yet pilgrims are men. You know what their mistake was? You know what it was. They were southerners. That's what their mistake was. That was their big mistake. That was their boo-boo. They should have been something else. Thank God they weren't. Our Baptist forebears. Oh, there I found my prayer list. Our Baptist forebears came to America being persecuted in Europe, and came to America to be persecuted. And there's this one passage, I got a track back there about it too, but there's this one passage that I always would read at Thanksgiving at our table when we didn't have services. This year, I don't know. I'll probably preach a mini service, that sermon. That gets it better. Everybody will be there. So I'll get a little mini sermon before our Thanksgiving on Thursday. But anyway, D.B. Ray wrote in Baptist Secession, he said, "Poets and statesmen have united to swell the sounding praises of the Mayflower and its cargo of pilgrims, who only fled from persecution to become themselves the bitter persecutors of the hated Baptists. But what bard, historian, or statesman is kind enough to give the name, mark the course, record the incidents of the voyage of that favored vessel which conveyed the Welsh Tract Church from the shores of Europe across the briny deep to find a home in the deep, tangled forests of America?" And Welsh Tract Church is still there, and I used to communicate with the pastor he's passed. It's a Primitive Baptist church, and he was a good brother, and his name escapes me at the moment. Huh? Poole, yeah. "Across the briny deep to find a home in the deep tangled forests of America, where they might unfurl the banner of religious liberty, which should never be stained by the foul blot of persecution. Or who can furnish the history of that ship which bore the heroic John Clark from London to the American shores? Must it be left to the ocean winds and waves to sing the praises of these pioneers of the Baptists in America? Perchance these favored vessels were guarded in their perilous voyages by angelic legions who have treasured up in the archives of heaven the details of the adventures and sufferings of the members of the sect which is everywhere spoken against." And so, again, I don't begrudge the Yankees that want to mark the pilgrims and they want to have their... I think it's good they do that. But we remember who we are and where we come from as well. And when I mark a day, I think of my Baptist ancestors. Some of us don't have genetic Baptist ancestors. I don't know how far back mine go anyway. But it's kind of like when we were at Perrin's Cemetery one time. Diane was with me. She was raised a Lutheran. Walking around looking at the tombstones of my ancestors and others there in that cemetery, reading the inscriptions that were on the graves. And Diane said, "These are my people. These are my people." Ruth said, "Your God will be my God and your people will be my people," to Naomi. So we all that have those convictions and faith, those are our ancestors. Same with Southerners. Not all of you born and raised in the South. That don't matter. Again, those things were written concerning John Clark, who founded the Baptist Church. Christ founded it, but brought the church over to America, the Welsh Tract Church, which left as a church and moved to from Wales and moved to America. General Washington, then President Washington. I don't know, there's so much stuff I'll never straighten out again. But anyway, wrote the first Thanksgiving Day proclamation as a nation was by the first president, who was George Washington, who was also a Southerner. And part of it, he said this: "Now, therefore, I recommend and assign Thursday, 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was or that will be." And then he concludes, which back in here somewhere. But he was the first proclamation as a nation was by George Washington. You know, not by one of the Kennedy brothers just wrote another new book. I can't remember if it's Ronnie or Donnie. They're twins, and I can't hardly tell them apart anyway. Sometimes they got different facial hair and stuff now. But anyway, and they just wrote another new book. They wrote The South Was Right and several other books that exact title, I'm not sure, but something about Abraham Lincoln, the unchristian president. It followed testimony of his wife, his legal associates, his best friends. They all testified the man was not a Christian. Yeah, he used Christianity. He would quote scripture when it benefited him. The devil does that, you know. Anyway, our president, Jefferson Davis, declared a day of fasting and humiliation in 1861. He said, "Whereas it hath pleased Almighty God, the sovereign disposer of events, to protect and defend us hitherto in our conflicts with our enemies, as to be unto them a shield. And whereas, with grateful thanks, we recognize his hand and acknowledge that not unto us, but unto him belongeth the victory. And in humble dependence upon his mighty strength and trusting in the justness of our purpose, we appeal to him that he may set at naught the efforts of our enemies and humble them to confusion and shame." And President Davis issued that proclamation on the 31st day of October, and his proclamation came before it, the ape in the White House, too. Brother Howell alluded in his prayer about how, you know, they've secularized Thanksgiving. You hardly ever hear them use that word. You know, there's the newsman. Here's the weather on Turkey Day. You know, I like turkey as much as the next guy. I wouldn't want to have it every day. I could live with having beef every day, like that one doctor said, but that's another thing. But I do like my turkey. But that's not what it's about. It's the secularization of Thanksgiving. Beware you don't fall into their traps. Start talking about, you know, Turkey Day, this de-emphasis from Thanksgiving. And now you got Black Friday, and it supersedes everything. And some of them seem to be drawing back a little bit, but it was going. They were opening Thanksgiving afternoon for the great Christmas rush, you know. So beware of Turkey Day. You know, it doesn't offend the secular humanists. It doesn't mention Thanksgiving. Because, again, if you're thankful, you've got to be thanking someone. So I'm thankful. Who to? For what? No, I don't know. No, we're thankful to Jehovah God. I got to write an article about that too. I don't want to get off on that too much, but all these people talking about some Yahweh God now. I don't know anything about this Yahweh. I know about Jehovah God. And I'll kind of wrap this up and kind of gets back to this again too. In Psalm 136. And here we see three times in succession. We looked earlier, there were calls, you know, for without limits for prayer and thanksgiving and rejoicing. And here, speaking of thanksgiving, three times in a row. And the verses end the same, essentially, too. Psalm 136, 1. But for emphasis, it's three times, and it refers to God in some of His capacities, some beyond our understanding. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord! Now, in your Bible, it should have L-O-R-D in all caps. And if it doesn't, you should get another Bible. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That means the word there is Jehovah. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, that personal God, that self-existent one, that ever-being one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. And all these other gods aren't anything. He is the God of gods. For His mercy endureth ever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. For His mercy endureth forever. And that word Lord there is like Adonai, which is a more general term for Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord of lords. For His mercy endureth forever. Our God is a sovereign God. He rules and reigns. And we ought to give thanks. And it's appropriate that we do that. And we'll sing a song, number 372, Thanks to God. And if you like, when we finish, if anybody wants to give a brief word of testimony or thanksgiving or whatever the Lord leads you to do, I open the floor to anyone who's present. Don't make me come down there and knock you upside the head, though. Okay. If you like, you can stand. We'll sing number 372. Thanks to God.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost. Now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered. Thanks for what Thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all Thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for home, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with Thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity.
You may be seated. I'll start off and I'll be brief because I already done had my time. But we have so much to be thankful for. I thank the Lord, first of all, for being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I thank the Lord for that woman that sits back there and what she's meant to me and what she's done for me and our family, for the family the Lord's been pleased to give me, for the Lord's church, for our provisions. I mean, we don't even think about all the Lord provides throughout the day, but He's given us His preserved word. I thank the Lord for friends and brethren. I thank the Lord for every one of you and your encouragement and strength. I thank the Lord for His sovereignty. I thank the Lord for all He's been pleased to teach us. And sometimes I go back to Genesis 32. Where Jacob comes home or whatever, and he talks about all the Lord's given him and done for him. I won't go through that, but the Lord's given me and done a lot for me. You know what else? I think about it, and especially in light of the last few years and the tyranny and craziness that's went on in America. The Lord has not only taught us a lot, many of us, He's kept us from things, and He's protected us from things, and He does that for everybody. In different ways and different things, or for all His people. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And it wasn't by me, it's by His grace. If anybody else wants to give a word of testimony or a brief praise or whatever, you're welcome to. Anybody? Brother Hal?
Well, as always, I'm just grateful for the salvation that we have through the blood of Christ Jesus. It's something that we couldn't earn on our own. It was given to us by God's grace. You know, you think about it, if it were something that we could do that we could earn on our own, then God wouldn't have had to send Jesus into the world. But it was something that had to be provided for us. And God has done that. And everything that God gives us is done completely. He didn't provide partial salvation and we had to finish it up. It was done completely. And the Holy Amen. Spirit opened our eyes. And another thing I've been more aware of in recent years is to be grateful for the Holy Spirit, because when we pray, quite often we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's about to happen or what type of danger we might be in, but the Holy Spirit does, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we have our yes. prayers. And so the Holy Spirit brings things before God that we might not be aware of. So I've been very cognizant of that recently, and just so grateful for that as well, because when I pray, quite often I don't know the full picture, but certainly God does. And as I mentioned in my prayer this morning, we can't know in this life how many times God has protected us from things. You know, maybe He kept us from being in an automobile accident or something like that, but we might not be even aware that He protected us. But it does happen, and we're so grateful for that as well. So I just wanted to express my thanks to God about that, and we, of course, we are thankful all the time, because it's great to have a God that's so actively involved in our lives.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Anybody else? Brother?
I'm thankful for very much. If I listed off all the things that I was thankful for, I'd be here for a long time, and if Amen. I attempted to do so, I would be very inadequate in my list. So I just want to thank God from our friends, family, and benefactors, of which we all have many, and thank the God for bringing us here today and all the other times He's brought us here on the Sunday to praise and worship Him. I thank Him for the freedom that we have to do so in the place that we find ourselves. It may not be perfect in many ways, but you know, we are blessed to have the freedoms that we have, more so than other people in other places at other times.
Yes.
And I want to thank God for taking care of me and those I love, and I have faith that He will continue to take care of me
Amen.
And those I love in a way that's pleasing to Him. And I pray that the way that He deems to take care of those that are His, that I am thankful for that, because we may not always agree with the way that He decides to take care of us, and hopefully it's not in that negative throat-slitting monster take care of way that Pastor mentioned previous week, but I have faith that it won't be. I have faith that it will be in a loving way that a father would take care of his children, and I'm very thankful for that, and I pray to continue to be thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Anybody else have?
Sure. I'm thankful for the years and how he's brought us along to where we are today, and for his grace and mercy, and each one of you, and our families, and our friends, and just each need is met. We lack for nothing. Thank God for that.
That's right. Amen. Anybody else want to say a word of testimony or praise? Okay. We'll sing a closing hymn, and then if you're at the end of that, you say, "Oh, I wish I'd have said something." I'll still let you. But page 12. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. Page 12. You can stand as we sing this out this morning.
This is my Father's world, to whom I lift me ears. All nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily bright, their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair, in the rust. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus is
be seated. If anybody else wants to give a word of testimony, or if somebody said, "Oh, I meant to say something, I didn't," I'll let you do that too. Anybody got anything? Okay. We'll close in prayer then. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we take it so lightly when we say we thank you. Father, we set aside a day during the year to remind us. Lord, it ought to be constant. It ought to be in everything, giving thanks. Knowing that it's your will for us. Father, I pray that you might be with us in the days to come. Even as we just sang, though the wrong sometimes seems so strong. We're thankful that we know that you're the ruler yet. Lord, be with each of us as we go our way from here, and many of us that will be traveling this week. Pray your hand upon us, that you bring us back safely together, that you use us to your glory. Pray, Lord, for those who need healing, for those who need comfort. We thank you for our Savior. Is all sufficient, completed atonement. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that gave us life and the gifts of repentance and faith. that we might embrace the gospel of our salvation. Lord, help us to walk in the light of what you've done for us and of whose we are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.